Back with you on The Leader, Peter Kurtenbach, until 10 p.m. We have a lot to get to this evening. If you haven't already heard, the Dodgers came back from three runs down in the eighth inning to beat the Braves. Cody Bellinger, three-run home run. Mookie Betts, game-winning double in the bottom of the eighth inning. We have a series there. We also have Warriors starting tonight. The Sharks won 5-0 in Montreal. Hot damn. ALCS is happening. Boston is up 2-1. And you're listening to KMBR and KMBR FM San Francisco, the sports leader in Accumulus Station. Let's bring in Ben Kaspic. He does the Locked On Giants podcast for the Locked On Network. We love folks from the Locked On Network here on KMBR tonight. And this is Ben's first time with us. But I've been a follower of him on Twitter, and I'm loving the stuff he's putting out. And I'm certain that he's going to bring his A game like Logan Webb in 1-5 tonight. Ben, how you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Where do we even want to start with this Giants offseason? The perils of Moneyball. You can have a tremendous season, but then everybody has to be re-signed. Is your head spinning just trying to figure out all the possibilities that could go down for San Francisco in the coming months?
It really is. I mean, 4/5 of their starting rotation basically is reaching free agency. I've never really seen anything like that, you know, on a team. And then you also have a decision on Buster Posey. You have Brandon Belt reaching free agency. You, of course, have Chris Bryant. So, yeah, they have all this money coming off the books, but they also have all these decisions to make and all these holes to fill on their roster.
Let's start with Posey, because that is one that kind of threw me for a little bit of a loop. When I heard him speak after Game 5, he was obviously noncommittal. My expectation was that was just part of losing to the Dodgers in 5 games. Like, you're going to be hurt. You're going to take it on the chin a little bit. But hearing Farhan talk yesterday, it sure sounds as if Buster is not certain to return. And that's his decision, and he has every right to make it. I mean, that's his choice. He's a catcher. He's taken a lot of hits throughout the years. I can't blame a guy for saying no mas. But what would it mean for the Giants if Buster Posey weren't to come back and be behind the plate for them next year?
It would be a dramatic drop-off. I think there's a case to be made that he's the best catcher in the game still after the season that he had in 2021. And you know, there's not a lot of options in the free agent market. And I think a lot of people think that Joey Bart is potentially ready to take over and be that guy. But what we saw in 2020 was that he was not ready at that point at all. It was not a good performance by any, you know, measure. He was overmatched, to be frank about it. And then in AAA, I mean, there was some good performance, but also I'm not seeing a guy who's just ready to take over. So the Giants really need Buster Posey, and they have a club option for $22 million. It's pretty much a no-brainer to pick that up.
Right.
But the question is, does he want to keep playing? And some of the quotes from Posey make it sound like he has a decision to make in that regard. And yeah, it would be a big blow if he were to, you know, hang up his spikes after this season.
Well, not only was Posey great at the plate this year, and I think that Giants fans, and this is not blowing smoke here, I really do believe this, Giants fans understand how valuable he is behind the plate. What he's able to do as a pitch framer, what he's able to do as a pitch caller is very difficult to replicate. There might be one or two other guys in baseball who even are on the same level. That's been a question with Joey Bart. He's a young catcher. Inherently, you're going to wonder if he has those kind of skills. From what you're able to surmise, I mean, how far has Bart come as just a receiver behind the plate?
Well, you know, frankly, I didn't get to see a lot of him at all in AAA this season. But from what I understand from scouting reports and all that is that he very much has the tools to be able to be a good receiver. I mean, he's a big-bodied catcher, so he's kind of inherently a good blocker with that kind of large yet athletic and nimble body. And then the pitch framing, yeah, exactly. And the pitch framing, I thought that wasn't so bad. It was more of an issue last year. Like, he was having an issue catching the ball sometimes, and he was certainly having an issue getting on the same page as certain or with certain pitchers like Johnny Cueto. So,
right,
there would be in so many different ways, it would be a significant drop off from Posey. And look, there's just no way that even if Posey decides to retire, they're not just going to hand that job to Joey Bart. It would be somebody else. They're not just going to hand him that job. They're not. And the way that they're going to incorporate him, if they do eventually incorporate him, which is a question, would be slowly, I would think. It wouldn't be just like out of spring training, here you go, take the reins, Joey Bart.
All right, let's move to Chris Bryant. It does not seem as if Chris Bryant and the Giants are an inevitability. It feels as if this is very much going to go to the marketplace, that there are going to be other teams involved in the marketplace, and that the Giants have a price that might legitimately be less than the one they had when they traded for him. And they're not going to go above that number, which is good general managing, good team building, but ultimately not so great for inspiring confidence in a fan base that doesn't care how much you spend. If you had to project out at this moment what goes down, where do you feel Chris Bryant lands?
Yeah, I have that same sense that they're not necessarily going to make him a big priority. And I don't know that it has so much to do with, you know, not wanting to spend money. I think it has a lot to do with they have a lot of holes to fill. So that's a lot of money they're going to have to commit to their starting rotation, because everybody besides Logan Webb is gone. I mean, it, not necessarily gone, but potentially gone. And there's also a lot of talent in the free agent market. And I'm just not so sure that Chris Bryant is quite as high up on that talent depth chart that's out there as people may think. He's a talented player. He's a good player. But as we saw, he's not necessarily like a superstar player. He's a very good player. So anyway, I don't know that I have a sense for where he ends up, but I do have a sense that he's probably not going to sign quickly. He's a Scott Boras client, and oftentimes we see those guys go into January, February, even March before they sign. And there's just so much talent out there. There's younger talent even than Bryant. You've got, you know, Corey Seager and Carlos Correa. Mm-hmm. Not exactly sure what the fit would be with Brandon Crawford, obviously, re-signed. I mean, but those guys are kind of big-bodied shortstops who could potentially move to third base. So there is some juggling you could do, and the Giants have all this money to spend potentially. So I think they'll be in on Bryant, but he's just one of so many different guys who they could bring in that I just wouldn't – my sense is that he probably ends up elsewhere.
One guy that I think everybody is on the same page with, and tell me if you think I'm incorrect here, but one guy that I think everybody believes is going to get a very good offer, very competitive offer from the Giants, and is – more likely than not to stay is Kevin Gausman. What would be that fair offer? What would be the right offer to keep Gausman around? Everyone wants a bargain, but this guy is certainly deserving of a raise, even off of the qualifying offer from last year. What kind of term do you think he can get? What kind of money do you think he can get?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to follow his market and see what he eventually signs for, because of the way that his season went. It was so dominant early on, and really he was pretty darn dominant in 2020 in the short season as well. But then, you know, second half of the year we got inconsistent performance, and then in his one division series start against the Dodgers, we kind of got that second half inconsistent type Kevin Gausman. So it'll be interesting to see if teams are concerned about that. I thought when he was kind of peaking and dominating that he was in line for something around 5 years, $110 million or so.
My goodness.
And so, yeah, exactly. And there's risk with pitchers and big contracts, as, you know, we quickly saw with Madison Bumgarner, right?
Yeah.
Like everybody kind of wanted him back. People understood that he might not be back, but anyway, he signs that deal and then he was terrible immediately.
Yes.
And he's kind of not been good ever since. He was better this year, but anyway, I mean, yeah, so 5 years, I think, sounds about right for Kevin Gausman, and probably somewhere in the neighborhood of $100 million.
Between Anthony DeSclafani and Alex Wood, they're both going to get raises. What kind of raises are we looking at, though, with those two guys? And could either of them price themselves out of the Giants' market?
Yeah, I mean, the crazy thing is –
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL Fan Festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Giants keep doing this. They keep signing these guys, coming off down years to 1-year deals, and pretty much without fail, they're turning around and having good seasons and then getting raises. And so on the one hand, that's a really good thing because there's going to be pitchers like knocking down the door, trying to get the Giants to sign them so they can be the next one to experience that.
Right.
And so I would look out for the Giants to continue to do that. I know that wasn't your question, but
No. I'm with you 100% on that. Like it does feel as if, okay, if the Giants can't keep these three guys, right? Gausman, Wood, and DeSclafani, and I'd be shocked if they lose all three, but let's just say that happens. So we know Cueto's gone and let's be honest, he's not coming back. Like it's not as if the Giants won't be able to find starting pitchers that can be viable. They have shown that ability, and I'm so glad that you brought it up. Like pitchers are really going to want to be here. So I feel okay about their pitching. At the same time, they need more than just those three guys to re-sign or to get replacements for them. They need 4, 5, 6, 7 starting pitchers. There's no guy in the minor leagues who's knocking on the door and saying, hey, I need a spot in this rotation next year. It is barren in the cupboard. Now, down the line, yeah, but not right now. And right now, this is a team that's coming off a 107-win season and should be doing everything in its power, and I believe they're doing everything in their power, to win a World Series. And when you have to replace an entire rotation, luckily outside of your ace, that's really tricky to do, and you might not hit 100% on some of these reclamation projects. Some of them might be a Scott Kazmir, you know? And so this is really tricky stuff, and if DeSclafani or Wood just decide you're not going to pay me enough, like having to go back to the marketplace and find one of these guys that you can reclaim, again, that's not necessarily a home run every time. Sorry for the pun.
Right. That's why this offseason is going to be so fascinating because, like I said in the open, I've never really seen anything like it.
Yeah.
And it's just kind of a matter of circumstance, but also it shows that they have belief in themselves to be able to build out their roster this way. And they have shown that they're able to do it because, you know, going into the season, they signed, you know, Kevin Gausman got the qualifying offer and DeSclafani and Wood got these 1-year deals and Aaron Sanchez got a 1-year deal. Everybody else was like minor league deals and Cueto obviously going into an expiring contract year. So they knew this was coming and they don't seem to be concerned about it, but like, I have belief, as you mentioned that you do too, that they'll be okay. And like, if anybody can do this, they can do this, but it's going to be a challenge. And then you also look at, they have position player decisions that need to be made and potentially upgrades that need to be made. So they're going to spend a lot of money. Like that's one thing that just kind of is a given. They're going to have to spend money just to build out a roster. You could see a trade as well. Like we were kind of talking about Joey Bart, and if Buster Posey is back in the fold, maybe if there's an extension, that makes Joey Bart potentially expendable, and maybe you acquire a young, controllable starting pitcher that way, and maybe that's one area where you don't have to, and then you can reallocate that money that you would have spent on a starter there on something else. And so I don't know. It's going to be fascinating, and I'm definitely looking forward to it, though.
There are far too many permutations to actually explore all of them, so I appreciate you bearing with us here. We're talking to Ben Kaspik of the Locked on Giants podcast, joining us here on KNBR tonight. Dieter Kurtenbach sitting in with you until 10 p.m. What is a free agent name that – listen, I'm not saying that you have to make the bold proclamation, but – you go through. I've been following you on Twitter here a little bit. You have these great charts that you put out, and that's the kind of stuff I'm into because I'm a dork, and I appreciate you satiating those needs. But, like, who's a free agent that when you kind of just see the list of guys who are available, you're like, oh, that is a player that the Giants might get, whether he be a big-name player or, you know, a player that might everyone might not know? Who's somebody that you're like, that's a Giant?
Honestly, a couple of guys I'm looking at right now, Chris Taylor, obviously with the Dodgers for all these years.
Yep.
He's a versatile player. He's a guy who can play shortstop. He can play center. He can play second base. He can play all over the field. Kind of a not at the top of the market, but still a good player. Someone who's just going to kind of help you on the margins. I mean, he definitely is an impact player, but he's not like you're going to get maybe 70% of the production for like 10% of the cost.
Right.
And they seem to take advantage of those types of opportunities, which is not to say they're not going to be in the market for the big fish. And I do think that this is a year where they figure to be players for some of the big fish. When I talk about the 26 or 27-year-old Carlos Correa and the 27-year-old Corey Seager, I just see those guys. It reminds me a little bit of Bryce Harper a couple
right.
years ago.
Right.
Because when you've got a superstar and the age is right, when you're talking about they're still in their prime and there's still plenty of prime years left.
Good call.
They have all this money to spend. They are in a big market. They won 107 games. You know, they've got the project across the street that's going to bring in all this money eventually. Mm-hmm. So I look at those guys like I look at Harper a couple years ago, and they tried to sign him. They offered him $310 million.
Yes, they did.
So, yeah. So, yeah, but the guys who just strike me as potentially like really, really good fits and kind of fit that mold of undervalued guys, Chris Taylor, maybe even Starling Marte, who quietly
talk to me,
was
baby.
Really good.
Talk yeah, to me. He wasn't quiet. If you watched any Oakland A's baseball, you knew that dude was. Listen, I covered the Marlins back in the day, so I still have a bit of an affinity for that and watch plenty of Marlins games. There was nothing quiet about his performance there or in Oakland. That dude is a playmaker, and baseball needs more playmakers. The Giants need more playmakers.
I agree. Just that athletic. The Giants were not an athletic team. They were not a fast team.
Right.
And Starling Marte would bring a whole different element. We saw it when the Giants played the A's. He just like ran wild on them. He was stealing seemingly second and third every time he got on base, it seemed. And, you know, he's a good defender. There is like a PED suspension in his history. So that's I don't know if that's a
just driving down the price
for them or not.
No, doesn't matter.
Right.
Doesn't matter.
And the age, he's not the youngest. And so those are the type of, like I said, like you can get close to star level production, maybe at a discount because of the age. So I'm not concerned about the age. I'm saying they find it to be a better value, I would imagine. And that's kind of what they love.
That would be,
is what I've seen.
That'd be fantastic. I know a lot of folks out here, and we've had a couple of people on the air already bring up a Marcus Stroman. It sure seems, I mean, he's just tweeting through everything. So it seems like he likes everything, but he did very much take to Logan Webb's performances in the playoffs. How couldn't you? But it does seem as if, you know, we don't talk a lot about big money starting pitchers because the Giants have done so well with little money starting pitchers and turned them into big money starting pitchers. But could you imagine a scenario where they just say, we're going to go top of the line here, maybe not a Max Scherzer because he's 37 and that's too big of a risk, but a Marcus Stroman who seems to get what we're trying to do, still has some room for improvement, I would dare say, that our coaches can get out of him and would give us one hell of a 1-2 punch, maybe a 1-2-3 punch with Gausman, him, and Webb.
Yeah, I could definitely see it. And he is similar to Webb in that he's an extreme ground ball kind of sinker ball pitcher. And there really aren't that many of those guys anymore. But with the Giants infield defense, Evan Longoria is still under contract. Brandon Crawford, of course, signed the extension. If Brandon Belt comes back, you're talking about at least at three spots there, really good infield defenders. And so if you're a pitcher who gets the ball on the ground, like Logan Webb is, like Marcus Stroman is, you can get even better production than they might get somewhere else. And so, yeah, I mean, pretty much any starting pitcher that we name tonight, I could say, yeah, I can see them on the Giants just because they have so many spots to fill.
It's going to be a fun one, though. I'm so glad that I'm not, you know, taking crazy pills here and that someone else sees it the way that I see it, which is just too many moving parts. There's too many moving parts for us to do. By the way, there's a whole collective bargaining agreement situation that has to be hashed out before really any of this can go down. And we have to finish the baseball playoffs before that. And a lot of stuff is going to happen in the next couple of weeks and months. And Ben, I'd love to have you on again to break it all down.
Yeah, anytime. Happy to do it.
Ben, this was a pleasure. Let's talk soon.
All right.
Ben Caspick, ladies and gentlemen, that was a pleasure. We were all sitting here and just going, what tremendous insight. This is good stuff. Feels like we're just talking baseball. Don't let Marty poach that guy. I don't know when the next Talking Baseball is, but I don't want to lose him to Marty Lurie. I've lost too many good guests on this show. I know where the hierarchy is at KMBR, but I keep getting my good guests poached. Can't get Kendra Andrews. We were the first people to bring her on. Now we can't even get... Now Murph and Mac, she gets a rejoin. She gets a promo. She deserves it. Fish is saying we still have Dan Favalli. Yeah, we do. We do. And now I'm starting to wonder if maybe we shouldn't. He hasn't been poached. Maybe that's a statement that's being made from the higher-ups here at the Leader. Mercy me. Carrie just gets his own show now. We used to bring on Carrie. No one else would have Carrie on. Now Carrie has his own damn show. He might take this show. After all I've done for this station, you know what? They're gonna, you know, I'm not gonna dig myself a hole. We're gonna update you on what the hell's going on with Warriors and Lakers, and we're gonna play some ads in the meantime. I'm gonna get my head straight, and maybe we'll go find some more guests that we can get poached by the bigger shows. This is KMBR tonight, minnows and a stream full of salmon on the Sports Leader.
Former Navy SEAL Sean Ryan shares real stories from real people from all walks of life on The Sean Ryan Show.
Comedian John Crist.
How long have you been in Nashville? Let's see, 2018 is when I moved here. I lived in an apartment. I didn't know anything about it. I lived in L.A.
You were living in L.A.? How was that?
Yeah. Well, let's see. Good for my career. Sent me to rehab, though. So, I mean, that's pretty much the sum of it.
The Sean Ryan Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.